Almighty God, that is our prayer this morning. That you would draw us to your heart. As Dan just prayed, Lord, we want your word to come into our hearts, Lord. We want to draw near to you. We don't want to follow a tradition. We want to follow you. We want to follow where you lead us, where you call us. Help us to run to you, to not be afraid of you, not be fearful, but instead help us to draw near to your heart, to walk with you, to live for you. And help us as a church as we try to do that. And pour through me right now your gift of teaching, that I might teach us, that your word might teach us on how to draw near to you. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I have a sense that what we just did felt a little bit uneasy. Anybody feel uneasy? A little bit? Okay, no one's going to be honest with me. I felt a little bit uneasy. We don't normally dim the lights when we sing a song. We don't normally sing by candlelight, sing a slow meditative song like that as a prayer to God. It's just a little bit out of the ordinary, isn't it? And some of us, that really helps us worship. It really helps us focus. And maybe for you, that was a great time of praying to God, calling to be near to Him. But for some of us, like I said, myself included, that makes me feel a little uneasy. I'm not used to that. And why is that the case? Why do I feel a little uneasy about that? I know Scripture doesn't say anything against any of those things. The early Christians worshiped in the dark and by candlelight every time they worshiped. They didn't have electricity back then. Oftentimes we see in Scripture different postures of worship. People on their knees before God, people with uplifted hands, people with closed eyes. We see all of that in Scripture. I believe the early Christians, as they sang, often the words they sang or the songs they sang maybe were one line or more meditative chants of some sort. So I know everything that we just did is perfectly fine according to God's word. Well, why do I feel a little uneasy? And I think the answer is because that breaks tradition. It's not what we normally do. Tradition is simply a ritual or a routine that we develop over a period of time. Those of you in your families, I'm sure you have family traditions that you have developed maybe around the holiday season that you like to do every year, and it's just kind of become a routine, a ritual, and it's a good thing. In the workplace, often we will develop an office tradition, something we'll do as coworkers, and we just kind of always do it. It's just kind of a routine. It's kind of a ritual. And just like any group, churches do the same thing. We develop traditions, and we kind of get a comfortable way of doing things. It's just the way we normally work. It's just the way we normally go about worship or go about our Christian life. And we develop these traditions often because to us it seems right. It makes sense. It just seems like the best and the most appropriate way of doing it. And that's why whenever we break that tradition, it just kind of makes us feel a little uneasy. Now, I think tradition is a good thing. Tradition keeps us rooted. It keeps us stable. It keeps us in a regular frame of mind. It keeps us connected to our past. And that's a very good thing. But sometimes when tradition is broken, it can kind of make us feel this uneasy to the point where we get a little upset and say, you know what, I don't like that at all. And in Matthew chapter 15, I think that's exactly the way the Pharisees felt in this story. In Matthew 15, we find the story of a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees come to Jesus and they're upset. And they raise this question. They say, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, what Jesus is what the Pharisees are talking about is this tradition that was referred to as hand washing. And we think that it might stem from Exodus chapter 30, where they required the priests, the law required that the priest wash their hands before they eat. And the Pharisees took that idea and said, you know what? We shouldn't just require the priest to do that. We should require everyone to do that. Because after all, we all want to be holy before the Lord. We all want to be clean before the Lord. And so instead of just requiring the priest to do it, let's require everyone to wash their hands before they eat. And so they had this tradition that before you ate, that you would put your hands like this, and they would pour the water over it once, and they put your hands like this, and they would pour water over it again, and that way you'd be ritually clean, and then therefore you could eat your food. But apparently, the disciples of Jesus are not doing that. They're not following that tradition, and that's bothered the Pharisees. It's upset the Pharisees, and so they come to Jesus as their teacher and says, listen, why are your disciples not doing this? Why have they broken tradition here and not washing their hands? And I have to give it to the Pharisees here. I think they got a point. Now, sometimes the Pharisees don't have a point, but I think they got a pretty good point here. Because this tradition of washing hands was a good tradition. It was a good tradition. They started this tradition not because they were trying to be legalistic. They started the tradition because they actually wanted to honor God. I mean, God wants his people to be ritually clean. He wants them to be holy before God. And so why not make sure that that happens all the time? Wash our hands before we eat every meal. Because it is possible that sometime during the day you could touch some person, touch some item that would be unclean, that would cause your hands to be unclean. If you ate food with unclean hands, that would defile your whole body, and that's not good. And so why not take a chance on that? And just make sure that everything is safe and sound. Let's wash our hands before every meal. And that way we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are following God's way. And we're clean and holy. It was kind of the safe thing to do, you might say. The conservative thing to do. Let's make sure that we are never unclean any way, shape, or form. And then along come these disciples who aren't doing it. And it bothers the Pharisees because to the Pharisees, this is about devotion to God. This is about revering God. And in their mind, if you were going to be devoted to God, you were going to wash your hands. It showed that you were committed to God and being clean all the time. And so in their mind, it was kind of a logical conclusion. If you followed the Lord, you were going to wash your hands before every meal. So if you're not washing your hands before every meal, then you just must not be following the Lord, because that's what people who follow the Lord do. They do this tradition. But notice Jesus' response to their question. Jesus responds to their question with another question. He says, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? He says, actually, guys, you're so focused on your traditions that that's causing you to break the command of God. And he gives an example. He mentions this command, honor your father and mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments. And that commandment's not just about teenagers obeying their parents. That's a part of it. But it's also about adult children honoring their elderly parents. And in that society, elderly parents struggled, often financially, and they needed their children to take care of them. Well, Jesus points out that they have focused on a tradition. This tradition is called korban, comes from a Hebrew word. And the tradition was that we would devote or make a vow to God of something in our life. And what was happening is that people were making a vow saying, all my money is going to God. I'm going to devote all my finances to the Lord. Sounds like a good thing, right? That's a good tradition. But the problem was, is that because someone had made a vow and devoted their money to the Lord, now they couldn't help their parents if their parents needed their help. And so the son could come to the father and say, sorry, Dad, I can't help you right now because my money is devoted to God. And you don't want me to break a vow to the Lord, do you? And so I can't help you even though you need it. And so they could get around following the commandment, honor your father and mother, because they were focused on their tradition. And what Jesus is saying here is he's suggesting that maybe for the Pharisees, their tradition is trumping God's word. Their tradition is more important to them, to where it becomes more important than God's word. Let me try to give a modern day example that might help bring this home a little bit. This past winter, my son Joshua played on a City League basketball team. We had a good time. And one practice, I was talking with one of the parents of one of the kids on our team, and the conversation turned towards spiritual things, and so I just asked this lady, you know, where do you go to church? And she told me this story. She said, well, growing up, I went to church every Sunday, and then when I was 18, something happened. She said at the church where I was worshiping that Sunday, there was a bunch of people, she referred to them as bikers, who came into the auditorium. And they were dressed as normal bikers are. They had the leather jackets, had the faded jeans, had the bandana, they had the whole bit. And she said when the preacher saw them walk into the assembly, dressed the way they were, he promptly went to them and said, "You're not welcome here." And he made them leave. Now, that preacher was upholding a tradition. The tradition he was upholding is a tradition that we sometimes refer to as dressing up for worship. Tradition that started several decades ago, which I think is a good tradition. It started because people want to revere the Lord and to be holy before the Lord. And they've realized, hey, how we dress communicates what we think is important. It communicates what we think is special. And so if we really think worship is special, then we ought to show it by how we dress, and we ought to dress up for worship. It's a good tradition. The problem was, is that this preacher in the story got so focused on the tradition that it was causing him to break the command of God, the command that says we are to be merciful to others, the command that says we are to welcome all who want to learn of Jesus. And because he was upholding that tradition, it was causing him to break the command of God. And Jesus says, when we do that, the word of God is invalidated. And what that means is that the word of God loses its power. It loses its authority. And that happened to that mother. The word of God had no power on her. She said, since that day, I have not had a church home since. Because as she put it, I could tell that was hypocritical. That was hypocritical. And that's exactly what Jesus says here in the story. He tells the Pharisees, because you're so focused on your traditions, you've invalidated God's word. God's word has no power. It has no authority. It has no effect. And because of that, you've become a hypocrite, he says. You're more focused on following your tradition instead of focused on what God's word ultimately says. And church, we can do the same today. This past week, I made a list of traditions that I thought possibly we could be tempted to focus more on them than what God's word really says. You can make a completely different list. This list is not exhaustive. It's just what came to my mind. Number one, ministry programs. We have a tradition of developing programs like LTC or the Pantry Ministry or Sunday School, a number of things. And they're good things. But sometimes we can become more concerned about our program and making sure it's working properly and that people are here and everything's going according to plan instead of changing people's lives, which is what it's all about. Number two, we can become very focused on church attendance. Coming to worship is a good thing, right? But we can become so focused on attendance, making sure people are here, that we lose sight of transformation, which is what God wants to do in our lives. Church building. We have this wonderful building, which is a good thing. But we can become so focused on making sure the building's clean and that it looks nice and that everything's okay and lose sight of God's mission, of what he's wanting to do in this neighborhood and in this world. We can become very focused on holiness rules. Holiness rules to me are just principles that sometimes we lay down of what a Christian's supposed to do and what a Christian's not supposed to do. And sometimes we can set up some rules like that and become so focused on the rules that we lose sight of integrity, lose sight of what God wants to create within all of us, which is character and integrity. Now, if you look at this list here, the left side are all good things. They're not bad things, they're good things, and they were started for good reasons. They were started to honor God in some way. The problem comes in is when the things on the left side start to override the things on the right. The things on the left side were created to help the things on the right side. We start ministry programs because we think in the programs we're going to change people's lives. We encourage people to come to worship because we believe in worship God transforms us. We encourage, or we have this building because we think through this building we can participate in God's mission. We have holiness rules because we think those rules will help us develop integrity and character. You see, the left side things help the right side things. The problem comes in is when the left side things, we become so focused on them that that becomes more important than what they are originally intended for. And when we do that, we have invalidated God's word. We have broken the command of God for the sake of tradition. And whenever we reach that point, whenever we start to judge someone because they don't follow our tradition, whenever we start to say, well, I know this is a tradition, but I just don't see how you could do it any other way. Whenever we say that, we become the Pharisee. We become the hypocrite. And God's word has been invalidated. It has no power. It has no authority. What does have authority is our tradition. And church, listen to me. We don't trust in our traditions. We trust in God and the power of his word. And so I think what Jesus is telling us this morning from Matthew 15 is that there is not one tradition that we have, whether it's in worship, whether it's in discipleship, or whatever it is, there is not one tradition that we have that we should not be willing to let it be challenged. Now, I didn't really want to say that because that's scary to me. Because like I said, I like tradition and I like being comfortable and all those kinds of things. But when the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, listen, your disciples are not following the tradition. They're not washing their hands. Jesus could have said, he could have said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we offended you. That tradition's a good thing, and so we will do that. But he didn't. He didn't say that. Because he knew there was something bigger at stake here. And what's bigger at stake is the power of the word of God. And he wanted the Pharisees to realize the focus that you have on your traditions is not right. Your focus needs to be on the word of God. But really, church, that really shouldn't be that scary to us. Because remember our history. Southside comes out of the Restoration Movement, which was a movement that happened in the 1800s by two men, Alexander Campbell and Barton W. Stone, who they saw the denominational divisions in America at the time. They saw all the creeds and all the hierarchy and all the problems going on among denominations. And they said, you know what? Why don't we just follow the Bible? And instead of carrying denominational labels, why don't we just call ourselves Christians? And let's just be disciples who follow Scripture. Sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? But as they started to do that, as they started to follow Scripture, they started to see that there were some things that Scripture taught that was different than their tradition. For instance, they saw in Scripture that people in Scripture are baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And their tradition was to baptize infants. And so they had to make a choice. Are we going to follow our tradition, or are we going to follow what we see Scripture teaching? They noticed in Scripture that it taught that the Lord's Supper is connected to the first day of the week. And their tradition was just to take it ever so often. So they had to make a choice. Are we going to follow our tradition, or are we going to follow what we believe Scripture teaches? They notice in Scripture that churches are autonomous. They're independent. There's no hierarchy. There's no conference that everyone has to go to and vote on what to believe. There's no creed. Everyone just follows Jesus. They're governed by elders and by deacons. But that wasn't their tradition. And so they had to make a choice. Are we going to follow our tradition, or are we going to follow what God's word says? And aren't you glad that they said, we're going to follow God's word? And that's who we are here at Southside. We are a church that is just simply trying to follow Scripture. We don't have a creed. We don't have a constitution. We just try to follow Scripture. And the names that we carry are not any denominational names. We're just Christians, right? We're just brothers and sisters in Christ. Church of Christ is not a name for us. It's a description of who we are. We're just trying to be a church of Christ. But what that means as a congregation is that we have to be willing to say, when we have to choose between what our tradition says and between what God's word says, we're going to choose God's word, even if that makes us feel a little uncomfortable, even if it's not the way we grew up, because we're following God's word over tradition, because our trust is not in tradition. Our trust is in God and his word. Yaroslav Pelikan, theologian, said this: tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. I like that statement, because what I think he's saying is that tradition's a good thing. It keeps us rooted. It keeps us stable. It keeps us tied to our past, and that's a good thing. But the moment we step forward and start to trust in our tradition, to become too focused on our tradition, to make sure that everyone follows our tradition, we've become traditionalism. We've developed that. And as Jesus said, that's a dead faith. That's a dead faith. That's a hypocritical faith, because we have invalidated God's word for our tradition. And my prayer for Southside is that we'll always be willing to have the courage and the honesty to follow where God's word leads, even when it breaks our tradition. Let's pray together. God, you know I wouldn't preach this sermon unless Jesus talked about it in Scripture, because I know it's hard for us to hear these things, because we like tradition. We like being traditional. We like doing things the way we've always done them. But we see from Matthew 15, we can't do that because we don't trust in our traditions. We trust in your word. And forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we have judged other people because they don't do our tradition. Forgive us when we have been so focused on our traditions that we have trampled and broken your word. Forgive us when we have bowed down to just feeling comfortable when we knew God's word was calling us to something else. And Lord, help us to have the courage. Help us to have the strength and the honesty to listen to your word above and beyond our tradition. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we all say together, amen. Well, one good tradition we have is a time of invitation, a time where we offer a chance that if you're struggling with something, that you can ask for prayer. If you need encouragement, that you can come to an elder and say, help me right now. I'm going through a tough time. We're going to have elders surround this building, and if you're struggling right now, I encourage you to walk to one of them, and they'll help you, and they'll pray with you. Maybe you're ready to become a Christian, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. This would be the time to let us know that. Just come to the front and we'll help you be baptized into Christ and join us on this journey of being disciples following the Lord. If we can help you this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.